Christ is risen. He has risen indeed. Hallelujah. Welcome to the Christian Crusaders radio and internet ministry on this glorious Easter morning. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. If you would like a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's sermon, please listen at the close of our program for ordering information. Thank you for joining us today, and please come back again for worship again with us.
The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundation of the Christian faith. We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I know that my Redeemer lives. What joy the blessed assurance gives. He lives, who once was dead. He lives, my everlasting head. He lives and grants me daily breath. He lives and I shall conquer death. He lives my mansion to
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to give praise to you, the resurrected and living Lord. We thank you that you have won for us victory over sin, death, and the devil, and that many today, hearing that proclamation, may realize what it would be like if they could only claim you and turn their lives to the gospel. So may the gospel be preached powerfully today in the churches and around the world, as we hear that good old message that he who was put into the tomb by a man came forth, and God raised him to be the living Christ, ascended into heaven, and a part of the triune God. In his name we pray, amen.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Recently, I read a letter written by Abraham Lincoln to a mother who had lost 5 boys in the Civil War. The president wrote, "I feel how weak and fruitless must be any words of mine which should attempt to comfort you from the grief of a loss so overwhelming." When I read these words, I think how applicable to the preacher. I borrow these words then from the president on this Easter Sunday morning as I preach the Easter gospel. "I feel how weak and fruitless must be any words of mine which should attempt to elaborate on what happened that first Easter morning when the angel announced to the women who had come to the tomb, 'He is not here, he has risen.'" David Teede, once a president and a professor at Luther Theological Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota, has given me some help in his commentary in the preparation for this sermon. Teede calls this portion of St. Luke's Gospel an epiphany story, where heavenly messengers, angels in this case, confront mere mortals and reveal that Jesus has been raised in accordance with his words, and sends these witnesses to go and tell others. The term epiphany story might be new to some of you. This story being communicated to humans does not come from another human being, but only from a heavenly messenger. There are other epiphany stories in the gospel. The angel, a heavenly messenger, who came to Joseph and Mary regarding the birth of Jesus, is an epiphany story. The heavens open, and there Gabriel said, "You are going to give birth to a son, and his name shall be called Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins." That is an epiphany story. It comes from out of the heavens by a divine messenger to tell to humans, and they are to spread this message around the world. This makes this revelation unique, and I believe a bit more authoritative, coming directly from God through special means. It also says that those who believe that Christ has been raised and lives today have experienced an epiphany story. God the Holy Spirit has confronted us and revealed through the Scriptures that Jesus has been raised, and as he once said he would be on the third day after his death, and he would come forth from the tomb. The Scriptures have been fulfilled. The Holy Spirit gave this message to Luke, and Luke, through his gospel, gives it to us on this glorious Easter Sunday. This understanding of how we got this glorious truth that Jesus rose gives us more authority. And we have an authority that can be proclaimed to our fallen world. As Lincoln wrote, "These words of mine are inadequate. But these words which we proclaim have come in a very special way from God. They are not inadequate. The message of the resurrection is the foundation for the gospel. Therefore, I proclaim this Easter message to those who know Christ and have been raised and live with him in the new life, what it is to walk with the living Lord Jesus on a daily basis. And I also share with you the Easter gospel if you do not know the Savior, for he loves you too. He loves all of us, and he wants us to know that he is not a dead martyr, but he is a risen Lord." Let us then review this marvelous epiphany gospel as it is recorded in the 24th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. It was early Easter morning, and the women went out to anoint Jesus' body. On the way, they wondered how they would remove the stone at the entrance to the tomb. But when they arrived, the stone had been rolled away. 2 men, Luke described as dressed in clothes that gleamed like lightning, stood before them. Mark in his gospel calls this man, or these men, angels. This would be the heavenly messenger who was confronting ordinary people with the news, "Jesus is risen." This is that kind of an epiphany moment. Hearing this, the angel said, "Don't you remember, you ladies who are here, what he once said to you? while he was with you in Galilee? Can't you remember that? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the third day to be raised again. They began to think. And wasn't it true? At Calvary's cross, he had died for the sins of the world, and now, according to his words, he lived again. It was hearing the message from the angel that they understood what had happened, and they ran to tell the disciples that Christ Jesus was not in a tomb, but rather he was alive. Now, it's interesting, as we read this 24th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, the response from the disciples. There were 11 of them there. The Bible said that they did not believe the woman because their words seemed to them like complete nonsense. Can you imagine that? That these disciples had to wrestle with what Jesus said would happen when it really did happen? However, two of the 11 were somewhat cautious. And so Peter and John ran to the tomb to see what was really happening. John in his gospel says he and Peter ran there, and he outdid Peter and got to the tomb. But he didn't go into the tomb. Then when Peter came, he walked right into the open door, and there was no Christ present. Luke tells the story about these men in such a way that they had to have it proven to them. He was not there. The words of the ladies were not enough. They had to have their epiphany moment. Luke then tells the story about two friends of Jesus who later on that day went to Emmaus. They were walking, of course, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along the way, their conversation centered on what had happened. And Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Now, then he asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" This shocked the two men. Didn't he know? And so one of them, named Cleopas, asked him if he was the only visitor to Jerusalem who did not know the things that had happened in these days. And Jesus again wanted to whet their appetite a little bit to hear more from them, said, "What things?" And then they began to tell him the story. It was then that the men wanted them to know that Jesus had suffered and died on the cross, that he was dying there for the sins of the world, but 3 days later, as he said, he rose from the grave. Jesus then confronted them with some very pointed questions. "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Did Christ not have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? Didn't he tell you that clearly? Now it has all come to pass. Why do you doubt it?" This caused the two followers of Jesus to invite the stranger to spend the night with them. He accepted their invitation. And it was while they were sitting there eating that Jesus gave thanks. And he broke the bread and began to give it to them. Right then, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And then they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" And then those two men hurried back to Jerusalem and told the other disciples who were still there, "Jesus has appeared to us. Truly, he is alive." They had heard the Easter Epiphany story not only from an angel, but from Jesus himself, the greatest story ever told, for it determines not only our future, but our eternal destiny. That's the Easter story. Our history books and memories tell us how people have responded to this message through the years. Let me hurry on to say millions believe that Jesus had died for our sins and that he has been raised from the dead. And those who have believed in the past and who live today as believers in the Savior, they constitute the church, the fellowship of believers. We gather today to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and to be reassured that he walks with us through this life and one day will be with us in heaven. How does this work in the lives of people? Let me tell you a story that really shows that people have their moments with the Lord Jesus when he truly is speaking to them through his word. A few days ago, I visited an older lady who has been my friend for more than 50 years, and now she's very sick. As I sat and visited with her about days gone by and all the wonderful experiences that we had had, as she told me that she had enjoyed this life immensely. Then I had a prayer with her and thanked God for all the good things that he had given to her for her 87 years on this earth. When I finished praying, she looked at me and she said, "Yes, I'm thankful. But oh, how I long for my heavenly home." She has a strong faith in the Savior. But here is another interesting part of this story. It was in the early 1950s that I visited this woman's grandmother, who at that time was a member of our congregation. Her family told me that she was very sick. She was in a coma, but asked me to go and visit her, and they were there when I came. I read to that dear old soul, way back in the 50s, that section of St. John's Gospel where Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And I elaborated on that some more and told her that Jesus was the only way to heaven. And then I paused. It was silent. And I finally said to that dear old soul who was supposedly unconscious, "Mrs. Nielsen, do you understand that promise that Jesus has given to you? He has gone to prepare a place for you." And the silent woman opened her eyes and said, "No, I don't understand it, and neither do you. But we believe it." That was 50-some years ago. Now I am sitting with her grandchild, who by this time is 87 years old herself, and we're talking about what happens after death. And the granddaughter, now an old lady, says, "I have a longing for my heavenly home." You see how it passes on? These epiphany moments. Do you see how the grandma tells the mother and the mother tells the grandchild? And in those closing moments, what do we have to cling to? The resurrection of our Savior. Sometimes I get the impression that there are those in this world who feel that only the uneducated really can have a faith like this. For many of them would say that even the disciples at first thought it was pure nonsense. The whole thing doesn't work. It doesn't make any sense at all. And then I pick up a commentary like David Teeter's, from which I quoted at the beginning of the service. Here is a man who is exceptionally brilliant, very well trained, attended the prestigious schools of our land, a PhD at Harvard University, a student at Princeton, a visiting professor at Yale and had spoken to many, many people who were intellectually among the elite. And yet this man can open the section of the 24th chapter of Luke and say, in the words of his writings, he can say, Jesus Christ lives. He lives. It is something that has come from out of the heavens into the hands of people and have been passed on down to a man like him. And he was willing to share it with his students, and they proclaim it around the world today. Yes, my friend, Jesus Christ lives. If you wrestle with that, that's understandable. So did the disciples. But just remember that even though it doesn't make sense to the human mind, in those moments, God's voice can break through. Break through to the scriptures and break through to our hearts and let us know that we walk not alone, for Jesus Christ walks with us. This is the foundation of the Christian faith. This is a cornerstone of the gospel. Without this message, there is little for us in the church to proclaim. So hold it high and celebrate it not only today, but in the days that are to come, that we have the crucified, but the risen Lord. Amen.
I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, in a day of great concern as to the future of our land, as to the future of the church, and as to the future of our own lives, you have given to us the Easter Gospel. It is summarized in these words, Christ Jesus has been raised, and He lives. So, O God, we pray that as our years are short here, we may look beyond even the hour of death. To know that we have a new home, a home that has been purchased for us through Christ on the cross, and a home, O God, that has no end. Our days here are short. Does not take long to go through 1 year, and then pretty soon some of them are over, and we face death. Grant that we may face death victoriously, because Jesus Christ has conquered it for us. And so as we have assembled and are assembling in our churches on this Easter Sunday, may the glorious message of that day fill our hearts that they may be a new joy of not just coming together, but a new joy that you are in our midst. Forgive us our many sins. And today we pray for those who are sick and shut in. O God, grant them that grace and that peace to know that they lay not here alone, but that you are with them. Hear our prayer, we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
You have been listening to Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We wish all of you a very blessed Easter and pray that today's message has filled you with the joy of the resurrection. As we celebrate the Lord's victory over sin, death, and the devil, we are reminded of how important it is for those who are homebound to be able to worship. Christian Crusaders provides that service for many who are unable to attend church. As a nonprofit ministry, we depend on gifts from our listeners in order to pay our broadcast costs. If you are able, please consider making a contribution to our ministry. Please direct your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. We are extremely grateful for all who offer their prayerful and financial support. Christian Crusaders publishes a weekly preview of the upcoming program, which you can receive via email or read online. To receive this e-newsletter, please call or visit our website at christiancrusaders.org. For a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. You can visit us on the internet at christiancrusaders.org. You can also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth each Sunday for the past 74 years.